am special guest
Hiroshi Yamashura.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave. And as always, also hosting the Power Motion Picnic Hour is
Trevor.
Trevor, what's going on? How are you?
Well, I'm doing a bit mixed.
Uh-oh. Run-related mix or unrelated mixed doings?
More just like present tense. I feel like you were asking how I was doing, like, right now.
I was asking in the American way, where you just say, living the dream.
How you doing? And I say what I usually say, which is like, quite well or something.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. That's like living the dream.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit less poetic.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll lead off with a question then. Have you talked to or seen Dave Rawlings since we last spoke?
No. Have you?
Unfortunately, that's a no for me as well.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're kicking things off on a bit of a bummer, a bit of a low note, a clam, as we call it in jazz. We would both be fined by Buddy Rich right now if this was a jazz performance.
A clanger, as they say in the UK.
Yeah.
Made a clanger.
Made a bit of a clanger, ain't it? I don't know what they're saying over there. I'm going to do accents all episode long. Don't worry, everyone. That was just the first of many.
We're just getting started.
Yeah, exactly.
But a bit mixed. You know, it's been some tough kind of couple days, just of life, but then, you know, now we're on pod and was just listening to some very peaceful music. It's kind of set me in a calm place.
Good.
So it's been a little, you know, life's ups and downs, you know.
Yeah, doing this podcast is like reminds me of Hurricane Bob. When was that? 91, 92, but
yeah,
where I lived, the eye of the storm passed over. So I got to walk outside during the eye of the storm of a hurricane. And the podcast is like the eye of the storm that is the craziness of life.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if we're, you know, it's just supposed to stay always positive, but, you know, I figured I'd answer the question.
Yeah, no, I don't think we have to. There's no rules on this podcast.
That's right.
Yeah, less rules than the eye of the storm when at some point my father's like, we have to get inside now. And I didn't question, but...
We recently got to shelter in place for a tornado warning, which was quite nice.
In Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Wow.
Kids got really excited. The young apprentices rounded up all the pets, and we went down to the basement and had, you know, Nintendo Wii fired up. And
that's wild.
Yeah.
I have a memory in my head somewhere that there was a tornado once in maybe in the 90s in Beverly, Massachusetts. So please correct me in the mailbag, everyone, to whatever it is I'm hallucinating. Without the aid of 80 miles of trail running, I just invented a memory, or maybe that's a real one.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out. We're probably overdue for quite a few corrections at this point.
I know. Good Lord.
We'll save those, perhaps. But I guess in the American tradition, I should probably ask, how are you doing, Dave?
Oh, that's right. Living the dream. podcasting and having a social life also, and a job, and running a lot. Playing some guitar. So yeah, I am living the dream.
Having the time of your life.
Yeah, exactly. Just running around like crazy. Just got back from Kansas City.
Yeah. How does that run?
Kansas City ran. I was in the outskirts, and or maybe the suburbs, as the kids call it. I was on the Kansas side, because as any geography or possibly baseball buff knows, Kansas City is mostly a city in Missouri, but it's right on the border with Kansas and Missouri. So I was in the burbs. I was in Overland Park, Kansas.
Oh, sounds nice.
Yeah, I think it was. I feared that I was just in, like, you know, strip mall land.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went out for a couple of 4 mile runs, I was able to run through kind of some suburban streets that were nice and quiet and very hilly. So it was kind of great. I love a good hilly run.
Nice.
just rolling hills for 4 miles, rocking a 918 pace.
Sounds great. Sounds like some good running.
It was great. It was great. I realized that my TrackSmith Elliott runners, which I like last episode incorrectly named as like three different things. I just kept like calling them the wrong shoe name, I learned when I while
Yeah,
editing the episode.
the trainers or
Yeah, I was like the
something.
I was
Yeah.
doing my British thing, I guess, the Elliott trainers.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
I'm not gonna do it. I'll try to restrain myself. I'll that was a joke, folks.
Let's wait. Let's wait until we get to other accents.
Only one British accent per episode. That's right. I
Yeah.
can't. The listeners, a long time listener, you'll be very excited to hear what I've come up with for Estonia.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. I can't wait.
I realized that the Elliott runners are kind of worn out and maybe getting to that point where I shouldn't be going for longer runs in them anymore.
Interesting. How many miles do you think you had on those Elliott runners?
They're pretty worn down because I walk in them a lot. I wear them just because I think they're fashionable.
Yeah, this was we got quite a bit of mailbag chatter around this topic because I had a listener write in who was not familiar with the specialty like plane and travel and also run shoe. And I was because we apparently last episode I talked about how I also like to do that because I don't want to, go through an airport in my work shoes, which would be uncomfortable, but I also don't want to pack like three pairs of shoes. So just have some running shoes that, throw the work shoes in the bag, wear the running shoes, and then use them also to run.
That's how I do it.
The plain running shoes,
And
it's
that's what,
a important tool in the quiver.
yeah, it's it, it at this stage right now, it might be the most important since I've not really training for anything. Admitted to myself, I'm not going to make a marathon this fall. So really all I'm doing is traveling and run seeing whatever location I'm in. So I need
Yeah.
that versatile shoe. And this actually occurred to me during the trip to Kansas City. I landed a little early. I had dinner plans with some colleagues, and before I had some time to kill, so I went to the local running shoe store, and I ran three shoes.
Oh.
So let's dance on into the gear shed right now.
Yeah, I'll saunter over there now.
I finally ran the Saucony Endorphin Speed Fives. They're all right. I didn't like them as much as the fours, I think.
Okay.
So then the great employees over at, I forget the name of the store, shout out, free plug right there, in Kansas City, they suggested a new shoe or a pretty new shoe, and I
Okay,
ran in.
wait. Before
Yeah.
we get to this new shoe,
Okay.
so not just that you didn't prefer the looks, but also it didn't run as well as the fours for you.
For me, it was
Yeah.
definitely a good shoe. I'm not knocking it. I'm not trying to, damage the economy of the shoe industry in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wasn't in love with it. It was, it's a lot like the four, but with more cushion. And I don't know
Or
if I wanted that cushion.
the impeccable reputation of the Endorphin line.
Yeah, one of my favorites. One of the people who helped me in the store, she was great. She was a big fan of all five Endorphins. She'd
Yep.
been, yeah, so she'd been there from the beginning. I, of course,
Nice.
just got there with, I've had two pair of fours. That's it. So she suggested, she's like, you know what you might love? Because she said she thinks she maybe loves these more than the Endorphins, and she's been there for five
Ooh,
iterations.
okay. I'm
Yeah.
excited.
She suggested, and I ran in the, I believe what I ran in it was, because I looked it up later, and I believe I ran in the ASICS Sonic Blast.
Nice. That's great.
There's a possibility I ran in the ASICS Super Blast 2. I didn't realize I'd have so many similarly named shoes that all sound like limited edition food items from Taco Bell. But I believe I ran in the Sonic Blast.
Nice. That might have been the one that I, without any real knowledge of the shoes, sent to you as a possible alternative. I know I sent you an ASICS because I've been running in a ASICS Trabuco Max 3 for about a year now.
That doesn't sound like an appetizing Taco Bell dish, that one.
I
No.
don't know where you'd want to order the Trabuco. Maybe from maybe as like a digestif at like a Greek restaurant or something.
If they're out of
If
what's
they're out
that?
of like Sambuca or something.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, what's the thing that bartenders all drink?
Oh,
They all drink something. Fernet,
Fernet.
right? They all drink Fernet, yeah.
Yeah, Fernet.
I was never a bartender, so I don't, I
If you
can't
don't have any,
comment.
if you don't have a good Fernet, I'll just take the Trabuco Max,
Yeah, exactly. Just a
just
Trabuco Max dry. Yeah.
the Max
I'm
3, please,
gonna
if
go
you
to a
have
bar and order that.
it.
Can I have the Trabuco Max up? The mix there. Yeah, we
It's
only
a
have.
bit Max, certainly in cushion, as the name suggests, I think. But I've enjoyed running in it. It's been a good shoe.
Well,
I think it's a little too chunky, and I do like a good, a good solid stack. But these guys are a bit too much. But they just fit me a little bit better than the Saucony's do. I'm
I like
sure
that.
the listeners were hoping we would talk about shoe sizing again
Yeah.
on this
11 and a
trip.
half, in case anyone at home is wondering. I do have a birthday coming up in like 10 months, so 11 and 11 and a half. What about you? 11 and a half as well?
I run in an 11,
Oh.
and the 11 and a half, like, it's too tight in a Saucony, and the 11 and a half's a little bit too big.
Oh.
As previously mentioned.
I used to run in a 12. That's what they recommend to me at the shoe store, but I realized I prefer a little more tightness.
They recommended over at Marathon Sports once that I size up, and I found myself tripping and falling even more than usual.
Exactly. 50% more tripping over tree roots. Like, I don't know if I could do this.
I don't feel like the wide, large toe box really is my thing. I just jam them in there a little bit and just make it fit tight, but not like too tight, not like bumping up against the front, and I'm good.
Shoes have gotten gigantic. I don't want to spend time on this sidebar, but I had to buy basketball shoes a few years ago, and they were all just like absurdly huge.
It's strange.
But so the ASICS Sonic Blast.
Do you think you'll pick up a pair? It sounds like you didn't buy them at the store.
I didn't buy them, but I did prefer them to the Saucony Endorphin Speed 5s, which is a little surprising.
And for completeness, what was the third shoe you tried on?
So this is where it gets interesting. I was sitting there trying to figure out what to do, and I spotted a pair of the new Brooks Ghost 17s.
Ooh,
And
okay.
I'll tell you something about the Brooks Ghost 17s. They look cool. The one they got these ones with this cream with a little bit of blue and a little
Ooh.
tiny highlight of brown. And
Nice.
I was thinking about my Tracksmith runners that were wearing out, and I was thinking about my Nike Pegasus Trail fives that I enjoy wearing, mostly not running, but when it's raining. And so that's a versatile shoe as well. And so I ran in those, and I'm like, you're not going to win a marathon in these, but I did buy a pair. So I'm now the proud owner of a Brooks Ghost 17.
Oh, congrats. I think let's
Thanks. And I've run in them a couple times, and yeah, they're like I said, you're not going to be the fastest, but they look good on the airplane.
I've been really digging the kind of like neutral palettes and like kind of a return to more like subdued colors and stuff.
Yeah.
I think I've had some kind of crazy colored shoes over the last few pairs, and I'm ready to get back to just a little like, off-white or something.
There's a whole world of memes out there making fun of people with fancy gear and then showing the really beat up pair of shoes of the person who smokes you in a marathon or an ultra or something. And despite not actually being that person, I'm trying to to channel that at least or look like that person perhaps.
It's whatever feels good, right? That's what we're going for.
Yeah, so once I get back there out and I'm running a marathon again, maybe I'll buy another fancy shoe. But for now, former special guest and popular musician, a friend of the pod, Eric Hawk, was talking about being a working class kind of guy, right? So I'm trying to be more his vibe and wear a nice regular pair of shoes.
Nice.
I don't
You've
know.
enjoyed the Brooks Ghost line, as I recall, over the years.
I've never had a ghost, actually.
Oh, never a ghost. You had something else.
Yeah, I had a couple pair of launch years ago, and then I ran my first marathon in Brooks. I don't even remember what they're called. Something with more cushion, but
Go back to the Providence episode. We could probably figure it out.
yeah, exactly. We could get that updated for next episode.
Nice. Well, switching gears a little bit, unless there's any other business to take care of in the gear shed.
No, I'm feeling a little claustrophobic. Time to get out of here, I think.
All right, let's pop out.
Yeah.
I've got kind of an interesting sort of I don't know. It's not quite a. It's definitely not a race report. It's more just like run it. It's like news, I guess. Is that a segment that we have?
Yeah, breaking news for a
Breaking
podcast that
news.
sometimes takes a week to
Yeah, breaking news. Sometimes a month between episodes.
edit.
Crazy. We just unpredictable, just like life. But so we in the FKT scene, which we often report on, there was recently a runner who several years ago attempted an FKT somewhere in the like Grand Teton, I think.
Okay.
And there's a whole thing in the FKT world about like switchbacks. Like, do you need to take the switchback? Do you need to stay on the established trail? Or
Yeah.
can you like, you know, but anyway, this person's GPS showed that they did not stay on the established trail. They definitely cut a switchback pretty hard.
Uh-oh.
And not only did they not get the FKT, but they also just recently got arrested for like,
For like,
like you're not supposed to go
yeah.
like out of bounds on protected like national park lands
Oh, wow.
in this particular area. Apparently it was pretty strict. And so we were talking about illegal routes last episode and the illegal segment,
Yeah.
four felonies that Abby was telling us about. And yeah, and then I saw that headline come through and I was like, wow, that's crazy.
They pulled a Mexico City out there in the woods.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
increasingly popular race attitude to take, I suppose.
So, yeah, that's all the news that I had.
All right, yeah, that's all the breaking news. I don't have any breaking news, except yeah, Brooks Ghost 17 looks sweet.
I
That's
think that's
my breaking news update.
it's exciting. I'm sure the listeners will be quite glad to hear about it.
That's like the least news thing, actually, right? Is like a shoe that's been around forever that people either like or don't like is good, yeah. But the Sonic Blast might be the news because that's a first edition shoe, I think. So,
Oh, nice. Well, it's going to be a while before I need another road shoe, I think. The Hoka Mach 6 is still treating me well, but I do probably need a new trail shoe at some point in the next couple months.
all right. Well, I've only run in one trail shoe ever, but I've heard the On, whatever they're called, Cloud trail shoe is cool.
Yeah, several special guests sponsored by On.
Yeah.
Jeff Colt and now Katie Scheid recently joined the On team
And
from North Face.
I was in a running shoe store in Austin last year, and they were really, really selling it.
They definitely look cool. I hear they have a good road shoe too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll get to my first pair of Ons one day.
I feel like I tried them on once and it might have just been the pair, but they were like super stiff. They weren't like very like cushy the way I've been running recently with
Still
like
success.
the Hokas and stuff.
Was gonna say I've still been avoiding Hoka.
You know, you find what works for you.
Yeah, I'll get there. Maybe it'll be a 45th birthday present to myself, my first pair of
I don't know. Maybe.
Hokas. Time will tell.
Time will tell.
We'll ask Dave Rawlings for his impression of Hoka shoes when we finally talk to him, because he's a little bit older than us. So he's probably you've got a pair, he's probably got a pair.
Both Hoka and On are shoes that you'll see in a variety of settings.
Yeah.
Hokas used to be huge in the hospital, and I've seen On sort of encroaching in that territory amongst like the nurse crowd and stuff. And then certainly in office settings or just co like commuting and transit, just going about, your like kind of daily sort of casual shoe. You see them all over the place.
The daily driver, as we say
Yeah.
in the I don't know, Dodge Ram world or whatever, who drive vehicles like that. I remember when I ran my first marathon, and I was telling a coworker about the Brooks shoe that I used, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I would. That's my everyday shoe." And it
Nice.
was just, it wasn't a Hoka or an On, but it was a cushy shoe. It was the same idea.
Yeah. I mean, why not, right? You're gonna be cruising around every day. You might as well wear something that's comfortable.
Interesting development with the Brooks Ghost. They now advertise it as a running, comma, walking shoe. So
Interesting.
yeah,
Interesting.
just add airplane Shoe, and we're good to go. We have all three all three uses for the ghost.
Daily trainer, airplane, every day.
Maybe I'm just gonna go on my next work trip and only bring those.
Just wear those for work too. I
Why
think you
not?
could pull it off. The one shoe quiver, the elusive. You might achieve it.
Yeah, I'll report back on that. I'm home for a couple of weeks, so
Well, I thought you were going for too much in one shoe, but it turns out you found it. You just a little perseverance and patience and
I couldn't wear this ASICS just as like a regular everyday shoe. It would look crazy. I recommend
yeah.
everyone look it up, but not while driving or anything, but maybe while you're sitting down and in a staple chair.
Got some like I feel like some sort of like fast looking details.
The ASICS shoes all look crazy. I don't know what they're doing over there in Japan. I mean, I respect it, and I've run in a lot of Japanese shoes, but I don't know what they're doing over there. That's all.
Would have to ask Hiroki Murakami, I suppose.
Have we reached out to him recently? Maybe he knows Dave Rawlings.
I don't know if we've ever heard back.
All right, let's try. We'll try to reach out again. And then if any listeners out there know either Hiroki Murakami or Dave Rawlings and want to reach out on our behalf, tell them we got a lot of questions.
That'd be swell.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the news. Do we,
In case the listener's wondering at this point, a traditional episode this week. We don't have a special guest. However, we did dutifully prepare some traditional segments.
Yeah, so maybe we should do some of that.
Should we get into it? I mean, it's been a while, but back again, Song of the Week.
Song of the week, and I think we prepared like four songs of the week. So I guess we'll try to roll through them relatively quick. The first song I suggested was by Wolfgang Muthspiel, his new song Roll, which is a single on his upcoming new album Tokyo that's coming out in like 11 days. So something a new song is coming out in 11 days from recording, so it'll be out 5 days prior to release. No, I don't think that's accurate. It won't be out probably when this episode drops, but Wolfgang is a jazz guitar player from Austria,
Awesome.
and I haven't run to this song, but I'm pretty confident it runs.
I'm pretty confident it runs too. It's just it's I'd describe this song as a classic runner. It's got the beat, starts right into it, high energy, and
Yeah.
then it's got some interesting textures. It's really just Wolfgang on the guitar, stand-up bassist and a drummer. Is that it for the
Yep.
instrumentation? Yeah.
Three piece. He plays with Scott Colley and Brian Blade. They've done a lot of work together. And so they've done several, I don't know how many, but full albums together. So this is the newest one. Excited to hear the whole thing. They've released two singles, but definitely one of my favorite contemporary jazz guitar players. So always excited when he releases something new. And then I wanted to promote his new music, but I also did want to mention my favorite Wolfgang song, which is,
And well, before we move to
oh,
that,
please.
can we spend a bit more time
Sure. I
on
wanted to just
Roll?
roll right through Roll, but yeah,
You're
please.
like,
Yeah. I was like, anyway, here's one I like better.
and this is the song that I prefer. I feel like at the end they were doing some really interesting layering of the stand-up bass and the guitar, those little like guitar like power chords or whatever he was doing, like sliding them up and down. And it reminded me a bit of, and not in like a derogatory way, but it almost had like a vaguely like Bella Fleck, like Allman Brothers mashup sort of feel for a few moments there.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Actually, this song reminded me of a joke I used to make, and maybe joke is not the right word for it, but I used to refer to jam bands or jam band music as bad jazz. And this song kind of shows a version of it because it is a lot of, and not to say Bela Fleck is bad, he's a great musician. But this is kind of that kind of same vibe, even though it's coming out of the jazz world.
It was cool though. No, I dug it. I dug the energy. I dug the musicianship. And I'm sorry to delay the telling of your favorite Wolfgang song.
My favorite Wolfgang Muthspiel song, and this is my favorite assignment when someone says, "All right, everyone go around and tell us your favorite Wolfgang Muthspiel song." Well, my favorite Wolfgang Muthspiel song is, and please forgive my pronunciation, Hüttengriff. Which I actually reached out for a translation to friend of the pod and fellow podcaster, popular German literature professor, Dr. Gabriel Cooper.
Oh, excellent.
So, because I wanted to get like the real deal information, and but it's apparently a word that Wolfgang himself coined, which you can do in German. But it means like, what does it mean? It means like hut handles or cabin grips. It's a word he made up to refer to the basic guitar chords that you first learn. And so it's the kind of thing that you might, the kind of thing someone might play in like a campfire setting. And that was the vibe he was trying to elicit. It's cool. It was actually really cool to hear like such a technically gifted musician, I think, do his approach to such simple music. But yeah, there's a, as Dr. I got a great quote on this about the title from Dr. Gabriel Cooper. He said, "That's the great thing about German and also instrumental music. You can just put things together to create new meanings."
Very
So,
cool. Very, very eloquently said.
yeah. Well, yeah, you know, they don't give you a PhD for nothing.
I've always read it as Hüttengriff and have no idea what it meant. But I've known this song for several years. I definitely got into this around the time I was getting into this like category or genre of music, kind of like
Yeah.
the modern contemporary, like, you know, sort of like minimalist jazz and composition stuff, some ambient stuff. And yeah, I've liked running to this type of music for a long time, because it just kind of like occupies like space and time, and you don't have to, you
Yeah.
know, you can give it a deep listen, you like can pay attention to it, but it doesn't like require it. You can also just like have it on, and it kind of drifts in and out, and it's yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, that song, it feels like, you know, that you're like running through a mountain and you get above the tree line or something, or like above the clouds, and it's that feeling, which I've never done that type of run, but I've had that feeling maybe, or something similar through runner's high.
Well, you've got the song ready to go.
Yeah, and I think these guys have gotten that feeling through music. So it's a universal feeling you try to tap into in different ways.
Yeah, it's totally like, you know, solid like documentary background, like, you know, reaches the top of the mountain, and as Hüttengriff is playing.
Yeah. It reminds me of a friend, another friend of the pod once said to me back when we were in college, and he came into my room and he was trying to talk to me about something, and then he got kind of exasperated and mad, a little bit mad. And he said, "Why does it, every time I come into your room, it feels like the most intense part of a movie?" I think I was listening to the new Sigur Rós album. And I was
Oh,
like,
nice, nice, yeah.
You sat alone was the Parentheses album. So, for anyone keeping score at home, but
A good one.
good point. Criticism taken. I agree.
I guess anything else on that one?
No, but I think your comment about soundtrack music transitions us well to the next song of the week, because we decided we were going to do another one, right?
Yeah, if time permits, I feel like they're perhaps a nice pairing.
Yeah.
I chose for my song of the week a track by Gia Margaret off of
Romantic Piano.
Romantic Piano. You have the name of the song right there.
It's called Sitting at the Piano.
Sitting at the Piano. Yes.
And the first thing I noticed about this song, which I thought was interesting as a running song, is that this song is 30 seconds long.
Yes. Which I have something to say about, but yeah, what did you think of sitting at the piano?
I liked it. I was trying to think what I would utilize a 30-second song for, but I guess on a playlist, it's not a big deal that it's only 30 seconds. I read something where she said she, when she dropped out of music school, that she wanted to just make like music that sounded like soundtrack music for films or something like that, or scores to films. So very relevant to what you were saying about Wolfgang and his group.
Yeah, kind of this whole like kind of category of music I think about a little bit like that. And I read somewhere that she refers to it as sleep rock, which is interesting because it is what my kids, the young apprentices, know as their sleep music.
Oh, cool.
With playlists of this type of stuff that's just super like soothing. And but yeah, this song, 30 seconds long, really just her at the piano and some birds.
It was great. I put on soothing music for myself before sleep, so not just for children. Yeah, also good for adults, for not kids also, as we say around here.
For not kids also. So yeah, 30-second song. I'll give you the utility of it for me.
Please.
It's in the same. I'd group it along with the Minutemen song "Monuments," which I believe is also
Oh,
around 30 seconds.
okay.
And it's a great uphill single interval song.
Oh, cool. All
Yeah.
right. I'll try to use it for that. Now that I'm on Strava, I'm always seeing people name their runs for what they do. I haven't gotten beyond afternoon run or morning run or evening run. But,
When I was doing the uphill sprints, like 20, 30 seconds, perfect.
all right, well, when I figure out what an interval run is, I'll do that.
Oh, it's basically the stride thing that you
Oh,
already did.
I
Yeah.
know what it is.
Just
Okay.
with like different timing. So 20, 30 seconds, and then probably like a minute and a half to cool down and like fully recover.
All right.
And do it.
I'll try to do something like that. You
Yeah.
also recommended another song off this album called Hinoki Wood, correct?
Correct. That this would be my equivalent to your Hootengriff, my probably my favorite or preferred Gia Margaret song.
Yeah, I liked it. I listened to the whole album, and that probably is my favorite as well. But I would say the song Cicadas jumped out at me because it actually reminded me of Hootengriff.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, so great companion piece. These two would go, well together on a playlist for a long run.
It felt like a lot. I wasn't sure whether to even suggest we double up the songs of the week, but this is some stuff I had been listening to recently, and it did kind of remind me, like I was very excited when you sent the Wolfgang Muthspiel, and I thought, yeah, maybe we can kind of pair it up a little bit.
He's the best, but she's the best too, luckily. So, yeah, no, it's a lot of songs. I'm glad we did two albums and several songs. And I will also say at the same time, it was too many songs of the week, but I'm glad we did it.
Well, two songs of the week with two bonus songs, all jammed into 10, tight minutes of commentary.
Not bad. I think we did an impressive lightning round on each other in this one.
Yeah. Well, I refrained from making my planned Hiroshi Yamashura reference, so.
Well, people can find that in the Patreon episode if they
Yeah.
the extras if they go and subscribe whenever we set up a Patreon.
Yeah. So we'll spare the listener that just as you only did one British accent, I will only make one reference to Japanese ambient minimalism.
Yeah, as we are legally required by the FCC, we can only do one of each of those, unfortunately. And they might not be listening, but just in case they are, we're gonna play
Just
it
in
safe.
case. Yeah, we play it, we're by the book here on the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Yeah, why not? All right, well, what else we got going on this week? Nothing.
Nothing. Just
Nothing.
a lightning round, four songs of the week, little gear shed, classic.
I did a one of my most normal runs, or my most common runs, where I run over the Williamsburg Bridge, and then I run through South Williamsburg down to the Manhattan Bridge, and I run over that. I did that last night, and that was actually kind
Nice.
of, that was a fun run, because I did it like, well, Strava called it an evening run. But people were walking over from Brooklyn into Manhattan over the Williamsburg Bridge, all kind of dressed up for Saturday night. And, like just dolled up, not anything crazy, but you could tell they were going out. And I was like, this is my night.
They've got their Tracksmith Elliott runners, or they're on Cloud Monsters on, and they're feeling good about life.
And they're ready. Yeah, they're ready to, they're
Man.
walk, they're doing the walk, the bridge walk over. It's a nice, hey, it's a nice walk, not just a nice run. That's a popular one. That one's kind of, people don't do the Manhattan Bridge as much.
Did you ever find an obscure segment or come up with an idea to? I feel like that was one of many promises we've made here on
Crap. No, I forgot
the
to do that. I did. No, I ran the most normal run I ever do. I
Yeah.
mean, there are some what I think are kind of obscure segments towards the end of that run, when I like try to maneuver my way through a lot of traffic back to the Manhattan Bridge.
I was thinking more like next time you're in Kansas City, just take a lap around your hotel, something like that.
The Marriott Kansas City Overland Park.
FKT that.
I had a good time. I really enjoyed running in that Kansas suburb.
But no, you did also talk about doing something in New York. I do think
Yeah.
you were probably right that a New York, an established New York segment is pretty hard, just because there's a lot of runners.
No, but I should create one where like maybe I like run off path through Central Park. So this is still safe, so I don't like get hit by a car or a subway train or anything.
Don't
But
get arrested by the National Park Service or
yeah, exactly. The Coast
the
Guard doesn't get me
or.
somehow. Like, does yeah. But maybe I could do a really off-piste run through Central Park, like top northeast corner to top southwest, bottom south southwest corner. Did I just invent it now?
I think you should go for it.
All right.
We should check to see if there's a little island segment. I bet there is.
Oh, great idea.
I bet that's established, but
Haven't run
I don't
Little
know.
Island in a while. Little Island's hard to, you have you run it? You did, right? Early one morning.
I've run it a couple times early. I feel like you need to hit it early if you're going to go for an FKT. Otherwise, you're going to run into some people.
You should do it early. I've only run it when it's full of people, and I'm running up to the top of it, and there's just like 150 tourists, and I'm just like, out of the way, everybody.
That's an interesting full circle moment where I wonder if you're allowed to cut the switchbacks on that, because there's definitely some rocks that you can take in between the winding paths.
All right, well, I'll try it this week, and then next week I'll report back on if my FKT was accepted by FKT.com, and also I'll report back if I was arrested by the NYPD or the New York Park Service. But that's where we're gonna have to leave it. So until next time.
Onward.
Special guest,
Japanese ambient minimalism.
This is the Power Motion.